Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim Daf Chaf Ches, and we're going to begin at about 10 lines from the top. We learned in the Mishnah that Chachamim say Mefazav Azoyer L'Ruach. The Chachamim, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, hold that chametz can be disposed not necessarily through burning, but rather you could just throw it in the wind. Iboilhu. So they asked a technical question. Hechikomer. What the Chacham said, the Fazer of the Zoyer L'Ruach, or Zoyer L'Yam, what did they mean? The Fazer of the Zoyer L'Ruach, that before you throw it into the wind, you certainly have to crumble it. Or Mefaru Mata L'Yam. Similarly, if you're going to throw it into the Yam, into the ocean, you first have to crumble it. Oidilma, or perhaps what the Chachamim meant was Mefarer V'Zayir L'Ruach, when you throw it into the wind. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, since when you throw it into the wind, the chametz is could be found, and somebody could come and pick it up and eat it. Therefore, it's required to be crumbled first. Avamat L'Yam, when you throw it into the ocean, where it's not as likely to be found, Be'ene, it could be thrown in and the whole piece, and it does not have to be crumbled. So in other words, the question of the Gemara is, when you throw it into the Yam, do you have to first crumble it or not? Says the Gemara, V'tanan nam bi gavav avodazor kai gavna. We have a similar Mishnah regarding the disposal of avodazor. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, the Mishnah Masechta avodazor says, the Rabbi Yossi says, Shoichik v'zor l'ruach, you have to grind up the avodah zarah when you're disposing it and throw it into the wind, or mat l'yam, or you have to throw it into the ocean. And again, we have the same type of question. V'boilu hechikomer. Exactly what did Rabbi Yossi mean? Did he mean v'shoichik v'zayir l'ruach, before you throw it to the wind, you have to grind it up, v'shoichik mat l'yam, and before you throw it into the yam, you have to grind it up? Idilma, or perhaps what Rabbi Yossi meant was Shoichik v'zayir l'ruach, when you throw it into the wind, where there's a concern that somebody may pick up the avodah zarah and use it, so you have to first grind it up. Avamat l'yam, when it comes to throw it into the sea, be'ene, it can be thrown whole. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Mistabra, it makes sense to say avodah zarah l'yam hamelech kozla. And like Tosfos explained, in most places in Shas where we find a discussion of the disposal of avodah zarah, the Mishnah discusses throwing it into the Yam HaMelech. Yam HaMelech is an ocean, is a sea where people normally didn't travel. It's not meant for traveling. Avodah zarah l'yam hamelech ka'ozla, avodah zarah which is being thrown into the Yam HaMelech, and most people don't travel there, so there's a very minimal chance of it being found. Loy boy shchika, therefore it doesn't require to be ground up. Chametz, however, chametz d'lshar naharis kozel, which is thrown into other oceans, we don't find in the Mishnayos, says Tosfos, that the chametz is specifically thrown into Yam HaMelech. It's thrown into other oceans, which are used a lot. Ba'yipirer, so we're concerned that somebody may find it, and therefore grinding up is required. But what will Rava hold by avodah zarah in other rivers? Rava will hold they have to be ground up. It's only in Yam HaMelech where it's not normally found, that's where grinding isn't required. But other rivers, he will agree, requires grinding up. Amalei Rabbi Yosef. That's how Rava explains the halacha of grinding up avodah zarah, grinding up chametz. Rabbi Yosef says, Ad Rabba Ifcha Mistabra. And like Tosfos points out, usually when the Gemara uses the terminology of Ad Rabba Ifcha Mistabra, he's saying just the opposite. It's not that he's saying the opposite. He says, I'm going to follow a different line of reasoning. Avodah zarah is usually made out of a metal. The Lema Mesa, it doesn't dissolve when you put it into water. Boy Shrika, so it requires grinding. However, Chametz, which is a bread, the Mamas, that does dissolve in water, Loy Boy Pira. So according to Rabbi Yosef, when Chametz is thrown into any Yam, there's no requirement for grinding it up, because it's anyway going to dissolve. when it's thrown, Avodah Zarah will not. What's going to be the halacha according to Rabbi Yosef by Avodah Zarah in Yam HaMelech? So there's a machlokes haTosfos. Tosfos in our Masechta says that Avodah Zarah in Yam HaMelech, Rabbi Yosef will agree, doesn't require grinding. Why? Since the Yam HaMelech, as we just said a moment ago, is a place where people usually don't travel, so even though Avodah Zarah normally doesn't dissolve, I don't have to worry, because nobody's going to find it anyway. And that's why even he will agree that in the Yam HaMelech, Avodah Zarah doesn't have to be ground up. It's only in the other oceans where it requires grinding. Tosfos in Masechta Avodah Zarah says that Rabbi Yosef will hold that even in Yam HaMelech, Avodah Zarah requires grinding. Since it never dissolves, albeit that people don't normally travel there, but it's never going to dissolve. And somebody may find it, and that's why Tosfos Masechta Avodah Zarah says that Rabbi Yosef will hold that even in Yam HaMelech you should grind up the Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei the Rabba, and Tanya Kavosei the Rabbi Yosef. We learnt a braisa that holds like Rava, and we learnt a braisa that holds like Rabbi Yosef. Tanya Kavosei the Rabba, Hoya Hoyach B'Midbar, if somebody's going in the desert, Mefazer V'Zoya L'Ruach, you have to grind up grind it up and throw it into the wind. Hoya when you're going in the boat, so you see that when you're going to a yam, you have to grind it up. And Tanya Kavosu de Rav Yosef, when you're going in the midbar, you have to grind up the Avodah Zarah. You have to grind up the Avodah Zarah, but not the chametz. Ask the Gemara, Shechika Kash L'Rava. This braisa that seems to say that only Avodah Zarah has to be ground up when you're putting into the yam, but not chametz, is difficult on Rabbah, because Rabbah said that even chametz has to be ground up when it's thrown into a yam. And Pirur, the braisa that seems to say that you always have to grind up chametz, even in a yam, is Kashel Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef says that chametz doesn't have to be ground up when it's put into the yam, because according to Rabbi Yosef, it will dissolve in the yam. Says the Gemara, Shchika l'Rava l'Kasha. The Brice discusses Shchika is not difficult in Rava. Hola Yama Melech, Hola Shad Naharis. Goes back to what we said before. Rava agrees that Chometz in Yam HaMelech doesn't require grinding. Why? Because he says that since it's Yam HaMelech and it's not that traveled, so it's not required Shchika. So that Brice that seems to say that you won't have to grind up Chometz, where is that Brice discussing? Yam HaMelech. The braisa that says that chametz does require grinding up is talking about other rivers. Pir Rabbi Yosef Loikasha, the braisa that seems to say that according to Rabbi Yosef, you have to grind up even chametz before you put it into a yam. Rabbi Yosef says chametz doesn't require grinding because it dissolves. Says the Gemara, Habichiti Habanahama. Bread dissolves. So since bread dissolves, there is no requirement for grinding. Chiti, so the way Rashi explains chiti, is that if it's a whole sack of wheat, if you just dump a whole sack of wheat into the yam, it's not necessarily going to dissolve. So there, even Rabbi Yosef will agree, according to Rashi, you have to open up the sack, and according to other Rishonim, it's not just opening the sack will be enough, you actually have to grind the sack. That's the way Rashi learns this Gemara. The Sfas Emes and the Makar Chayim have a very different approach to this whole Gemara. Their approach to this Gemara is, what's the point of Mefazer V'Zoya L'Ruach? The point is, as we will discuss, to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Tashbisu, to do the mitzvah of disposing of chametz. And the question on the table is, how much do you have to do to be Mekayim that mitzvah? And Rabbi Yosef and Rava have a disagreement how much actually has to be done. I'm not going to go into explaining every detail, but that's their concept in this Gemara. Halach L'Maisa, we paskin Mefazer V'Zoya L'Ruach, but we paskin that you should l'chatchila grind up the chametz unless you're certain that it will be completely disposed of. What's the example where it will be completely disposed of? Mr. Brewer says, if you throw it into the bathroom, if you throw it into the toilet, it's not going to certainly be found, and therefore everybody agrees that grinding is not required. You have to be careful not to stuff up your toilet, but you don't have to worry about Mefazer that you have to grind it up first. Also, the Paiskim say that obviously the discussion of this Gemara is only when we're dealing with the Zman Issu, when Chametz is already Asr. Once Chametz is, if Chametz is not yet Asr, then you could dispose of Chametz, you could put it out, it's no problem. We're talking when it's ready after the Zman Issu. Also, the Magen Avraham says that if you're putting Chametz into the Yam, and you're putting into a Yam where fish swim, and that people take those fish and they fish for those fish on Yontif and may eat it, we're makbid not to feed fish or animals chametz on Yontif. So you should be careful not to throw it into a yam with fish that you're going to eat on Yontif swim. There's another shaila that the Minchas Yitzchak bases on this Gemara. There's a shaila about using various aerosols on Yontif, you know, deodorants or air freshener. Is a mutter or asr on Yontif? So he brings a raya that it's mutter. That even though we know that one of the malachas of Shabbos is zoira, what does zoira mean? Winnowing, you spray. So Minchas Yitzchak says that the only time zoira is asr is when you're separating good from bad. How does winnowing work? You have the grain with the chaff around it. You want to separate it. So winnowing is one of the ways you separate it. He says when you use an air freshener, you use a deodorant, you're not separating good from bad, you're just spraying. What's the raya? He says, because it says in Shulchan Aruch that let's say somebody finds chametz in his possession on Yontif, and he needs to dispose of it, so he can't ask a guy to burn it, because burning is a malacha. But he can ask a guy to do mefazah v'zoyah l'ruach. He can ask him to throw it out. But if zoyah, if spraying is a malacha d'oraisa, how could you ask a guy to do malacha for you on Yontif? It must be, since you're not separating when you're throwing chametz out, good from bad, that's not considered zoyah. And that's why you're allowed to also use a deodorant or air freshener, because you're not separating good from bad. Says the Mishnah. Chametz shel nachri, shavu lav Pesach. The chametz of a guy that was in his possession over Pesach is mutar b'hanah. After Pesach, you're allowed to have benefits from that chametz. V'shal Yisrael, but the chametz of a Jew, os b'hanah. If it was in his possession over Pesach, it's os b'hanah. Shnemer lo yiro l'chasar. So, a few points. Firstly, we're going to learn the Gemara, that the Gemara says that the chametz shel nachri, shavu lav Pesach, is mutar b'hanah. The truth is, it's not only mutar b'hanah, it's even mutar b'achila. Why does the Brisht only say mutar b'hanah? So our Gemara, we'll learn tomorrow, answers, because since by Yisrael it says also b'hanah, so for consistency purposes, the Mishnah says by Goy it's mutar b'hanah. But the truth is, it's not only mutar b'hanah, it's even mutar b'achila. The Yerushalmi says another answer. The Yerushalmi says the reason the Mishnah says it's mutar b'hanah because it's really not mutar b'achila, because pas akum is also b'achila. So b'achila, the Mishnah can't say it's mutar. The Mishnah can only say it's mutar b'hanah. There's another shaila. When the Mishnah says the words lo yiro l'chasar, shenem lo yiro l'chasar, what is the Mishnah referring to? Is it referring to the Reisha? That the Reisha said that the chametz of a goy, you're allowed to have benefit even if it was there over Pesach. Why? Because it says lecha, only Jewish chametz, not goyish chametz. So the word shenem lo yiro l'chasar is going on the Reisha, or is it going on the Sefer? You know why you're not allowed to have benefit from chametz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach? Because lo yiro l'cha, you over, you transgress lo yiro l'cha. We'll discuss that in the Gemara too. There's no nachmina l'alocha at this point. Rabbi Chanan in the Kibbutz Shiurim makes an observation. He says, why are you allowed to benefit from the chametz that was owned by a guy over Pesach? Because the guy didn't do anything wrong. The guy didn't do anything wrong by having the chametz of Pesach. The guy's allowed to own the chametz of Pesach. So he asks, what's going to be the halacha if a cherish shoit of a cotton, a Jew who's not mechuy b'mitzvahs, owned chametz over Pesach? Will there be a problem of chametz shavu lav Pesach on that chametz? So he says, the fact that our Mishnah only mentioned the example of chametz shel nachri and did not mention the example of chametz shel cheresh shoyt of a katan comes to teach us that even though these people are not over anything if they own chametz over Yontif, they're not mechuy b'mitzvahs. If their chametz was in the possession of a Jew's house, let's say your child who's a minor owns chametz, but it's in your house, there will be an isra of chametz shavol of a Pesach. He says the proof is that the Mishnah didn't mention that heter. So it's obvious that even though he is allowed to own the chametz, it's not allowed to be in your possession over Yontif. Says the Gemara, Mani Masnisin, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Shimon, v'lo Rabbi Yosei Glili. It doesn't really, at first glance, seem to be not Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Yosei Glili. Ask the Gemara Maihi, who are Rabbi Yosei Glili, who are Rabbi Shimon, who are Rabbi Yehuda? What Shita of the are we referring to when we say that they're not the Tanoim of our Mishnah? So what's going to happen in our Gemara is that the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa and analyze the Braisa and not come back to this question of who is the Tana of our Mishnah until tomorrow Shir Mitzvah. The Tanya. We learned in the Braisa. Chametz Bein Lefnei Zmanoi, Chametz before Pesach, Bein Leachaz Manoi, Chametz after Pesach. Oivalov belav. You're over a lav if you have that chametz. Now it's chametz you have to get rid of before Yontif, and chametz that you had over Yontif, you're not allowed to have in your possession, and if you have in your possession, you're over a lav. Toichs manoi. Chametz on Pesach. Oivalov belav vikaris. Not only is there a lav, but there's even a chiv karis on Yontif. Divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon Oimer. Chametz lifnei zmanoi. Chametz before Pesach. Ulaachas manoi, a chametz after Pesach, ein oivola b'loy klum. There is no problem. Toichs manoi, during Pesach, oivolov b'karis u'b'lav. There is a chi of karis and a chi of lav. So the Tzlach asks, he doesn't understand why Reb Shimon reverses the terminology. When Reb Yehuda said that if you have chametz on Pesach, he said oivor b'lav v'karis. Reb Shimon says oivor b'karis v'lav. Why? So he says, because Rav Shimon is teaching us another halacha. Rav Shimon holds that for taruvas chametz or for chametz noiksha, there certainly is no chiv karis. Rav Shimon is teaching us that if there's no chiv karis, not only is there no chiv karis, there's no chiv lav on such chametz either. And Rav Shimon is saying, if we learn the Gemara simply, that there is no isser having chametz before Yontif, after Yontif, only during Yontif. So now there's a very big machlokes Rishonim. What does Rav Shimon hold about chametz on Erev Pesach? Because the Baal Amar says, if you read the words of Rav Shimon simply, Rav Shimon is telling us the chametz before Pesach, there's no problem. You can have chametz until Yontif. Tosfos says that that can't be pshat in Rav Shimon. Because we know that the Torah says, Dashpisu sarmim bateichem. You have to get rid of the chametz. We know that the Torah says, Lesishchet chametz. You're not allowed to shech the carbon Pesach when you have chametz. So that's why Tosfos learns that Rav Shimon agrees that you have to get rid of the chametz, and you're not allowed to eat chametz already from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. But Rav Shimon, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, will hold that there's two ways of learning it. That there's only an Issa Achila, there's no Issa Hanah. That's one way of learning. That means if you want to take the chametz and use it for fuel, or you want to take the chametz and feed it to your animal, according to Rav Shimon would be mutter, according to Rav Yehuda would be asr. Another way of learning it is that according to Rav Shimon, there's only a chi of asay. There's an asay, because a laf habor mechlal asay, tashbisu is couched in the words of a positive. Dispose of it. Doesn't say don't have the chametz. So it's only a mitzvah asay not to have chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. And according to Rav Yehuda, it's not just a mitzvah asay, it's even a laf. So there's a few approaches how to learn Rav Shimon's outlook to chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Continues the Mishnah, the Braisa, u'mishah shas b'achila, from when you may not eat chametz, that means from Chatzos, also b'hanoi, you're not even benefit, also tanakam, that is Rav Yehuda's shit. Rav Yosei Glili Omer, toma al atzimcha. He says to Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, I don't understand you. Chek chametz also b'hanoi kol shiva. Rav Yosei Glili says, not only is chametz muter b'hano before Pesach, muter b'hano after Pesach, but he says it's even muter b'hano during Pesach. Now the Pnei Yeshua points out, we need to understand Rabbi Yosei Aglili's terminology. He says, tom al atzmecha, wonder on yourself. What does he mean with tom al atzmecha? So he says, and it's a good chazor on the Gemara we learned last week, He says, Rabbi Yosi HaGlili is talking to Rabbi Yehuda. He's saying, let's review all the reasons we would say chametz is asur b'hanah. So there are really three ways that we could say it. One is because we said that the Torah uses a unique terminology, lo ya'ochel. Says Rabbi Yosi HaGlili to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't follow terminology, you don't follow yesh eim l'mikra, you don't follow pronunciation, you hold yesh eim l'masaris, you follow the way it's written. The way it's written, lo ya'ochel and lo ya'ochel are spelled the same way. The other way you would say is because I learned that from Nevela, that since the Torah by Nevela said, give it to the ger, or sell it to the guy, only Nevela you'll have hanah, but not chametz. Says Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, you said that the reason the Torah said it is because Dvarim Kiksovim, that the Torah wants it specifically to sell the chametz to the guy, the Nevela to the guy, and give it to the ger. So you can't use that as a makar, that chametz is asur b'hanah. I, the Pasik of L'kelev Tashlich and Oisoi, to teach us that treifa you lot of hanah, something else not, you use it to teach us that chulin that you brought to the Azara is asur b'hanah. So all the possible sources that would teach us that chametz asur b'hanah are not legitimate sources to you, Rabbi Yehuda. So if that's why Rabbi Yosi says to you, Tamal Atzmach, I don't understand you. From where are you taking that chametz is asur b'hanah? Umanayim continues the Braisa. How do we know that if somebody eats chametz erev Pesach after chatzos shu oiver b'lo yisasei, that is oiver alav shenema lo yisoich alav chametz divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon says, v'chi efshe lo mekein. I don't understand how you could say, Rav Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, that if somebody eats chametz erev Pesach after chatzos, he's oiver alav. V'lo yisoich, doesn't the Torah say, lo yisoich alav chametz shivas yomim, toich alav matzis. The Torah connects, imkei matam alayim lo yisoich alav chametz. What does the Torah mean, don't eat chametz? The Torah is telling us, b'shosh yesh nabekom echol matzah, when there's an obligation to eat matzah, yesh nabekom echol chametz, there's an issa to eat chametz. B'shosh en nabekom echol matzah, when there is no obligation to eat matzah, en nabekom echol chametz, there is no issa to eat chametz. And since there's no obligation, obviously, to eat matzah erev Pesach, there is no issa to eat chametz then. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, if that's Rav Shimon's line of reasoning, the only time you have to eat matzah is Pesach by night. You don't have to eat matzah the rest of Yontif. You're not allowed to eat chametz, according to us. But you're not allowed to eat. So if Rav Shimon is connecting chametz and matzah, how does he know the chametz is also all 7 days? So he says you have to say, pshat is, what the Torah is telling us, you don't have to eat matzah all 7 days. But if you want to eat something, you can't eat bread, you have to eat matzah. So it doesn't mean that you have to eat matzah. Anytime when you want to eat, you have to eat matzah, then you're not allowed to eat chametz. My Tamar of Yehuda explains the Gemara, what is the reason from Yehuda? Says the Gemara, Tlosa Kroi Ksivi. There are three psukim. One pasuk says, La Yochel Lov Chametz. La Yochel Chametz. Another pasuk says, V'kam Achmetz Lai Sechelu. And a third pasuk says, Lai Sechel Lov Chametz. Three psukim prohibiting us from eating chametz. Tells us Rabbi Yehuda, Chad Lifnei Zmanoi, one pasuk is talking about before Pesach, erev Pesach after Chatzos, V'chad Lach Zmanoi, to teach us Chomet Shovel of a Pesach, is Osem Medaraisa, V'chad L'Toich Zmanoi, that during Pesach, Chomet is Osem. And the Rishonim explain which of the three psukim refer to Pesach. The pasuk of Komach Metzes Lo Sechelu, says the Miri, because that's the strongest pasuk, that anything that has any shaychus to chametz, so I use that for Pesach itself. Rav Shimon, who only holds there's an issa to eat chametz on Pesach, what is he going to do with all three psukim? So he's going to say like this: Chad, one pasuk of the Toich Zmanoi is to tell us that you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. The Komach Metzes. What does he do with the pasuk of chomach metzes? He teaches us for something else. I only know if something became leavened from itself. That means if you mix flour and water and you let it to stand, it'll rise and become chomets. How do I know that if it became leavened because you put something else into it, that it also is considered chomets and you're not allowed to eat it? Tamaloymer loy chomach metzes loy sechel. Any type of chametz. Ask Tosis that we know that the highest level of chametz The prototype of chametz is when you take flour and water and you put yeast into it. So it has an outside force. That's certainly considered chametz. So what's the pasuk need to tell me? An outside force makes it into chametz. It's still considered chametz. So Taisha says, certainly, if we're just using, certainly, when I have flour and water and yeast, that's chametz. And for that, I don't need a pasuk. The Torah mentions sa'or. The Torah mentions yeast so many times that certainly that's chametz without this pasuk. What this pasuk is teaching us is you took flour and water and you added to it sediment of wine. That also has the ability to make it chametz. I don't know that that is considered chametz. Tells us the Gemara that that too will be considered chametz. Ask the Pnei Yeshua. Ask the Avni Nezer. What's Taisa saying? That you can make flour and water into chametz by putting it into a sediment of wine. We know, and we're going to learn it mitzvah Shem together in the Masechta, the mei peiros ei machmitzin. Fruit juice can't make something ferment, can't make into chametz. So ask the Avni Nezer, here Taisa says that how could something become chametz by putting in the sediment of wine? And on the other hand, we say, mei peiros ei machmitzin, that if you mix flour and water and grape juice, pure apple juice, it won't become chametz. So the Avni Nezer says, there's a difference between when you use good grape juice, that won't make something chametz. Mei peiros ei machmitzin. But if you use spoiled, anything spoiled has the ability to be machmitz. The sediment of wine is spoiled wine. It's the part in the bottom. That has the ability. And he says, what's the proof? What is sa'ar? Sa'ar, we can make yeast chemically. But yeast is really moldy bread. What has the ability to make something become chametz? Something which is moldy, something which is spoiled. So yes, mei peiros, good fruit juice, good grape juice, ei machmitzim, will not make something into chametz. Spoiled wine, like Taisa says, the sediment certainly has the ability to make something into chametz. Lo yoichel chametz. What about the pasuk of lo yoichel chametz? What would Rav Shimon do with that pasuk? Mibay lo yoichel tanya. Rav Yosef Aglili Omer. Menayin lePesach Mitzrayim. How do we know that the Pesach, the Klai Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, she'en chimutzo noig el yoim echad, that their chametz was only also for one day? Tamalayim lo yoichel chametz. The Torah says, you're not allowed to eat chametz. The Samach Lein, right next to it, the Torah says, Hayoim atam yoitzim. Hayoim! Only on this day, in the year that they went out of Mitzrayim, may you not eat chametz. There's no, Pesach was a one-day yont of that year, not 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda, that uses these psukim, this pasuk, to teach us the chametz is asur before Pesach, after Pesach, where will he know machmas tava achman olei? How will he know that somebody that became chametz through an outside force is also considered chametz, and you may not eat it on Pesach? Says the Gemara, mid afkei rechman b'loshim machmetzes. Since the Torah used this unique type of terminology of machmetzes, which is not usually the way it's called, usually it's just called chametz, it comes to teach us another din that chametz machmas tava achar is considered chametz. The Rabbi Yosef Aglili Minolei, from where will Rabbi Yehuda know Rabbi Yosef Aglili's din that Pesach Mitzrayim was only a one-day yantif? Says the Gemara, Ibayis Ema Midasamach LeHayoyim. He says, why did the Torah have to juxtapose the word Hayoyim to Leisach LeChametz? Why did the Torah have to put it together? It must be that the Torah is trying to teach us, besides the Isser of eating Chametz before Pesach or after Pesach, the Torah is also teaching us another din that Pesach Mitzrayim was a one-day yantif. Ibayis Ema Smuchim LeDarush. Hitaka doesn't hold the Pesach Mitzrayim was a one-day yontif. He says that only in Mishnah Torah, the fact that two words are put together has relevance to teach us something. B'chol HaTorah Kula, it doesn't necessarily have relevance. And according to him, Pesach Mitzrayim was a one-day yontif. Was a seven-day yontif. Amar, so he said, Umenayin lo'eichel chametz m'shei shos l'mala, sh'ovah b'loysa say, sh'nemar lo'soich alav chametz. So he says that even Erev Pesach after Chatzos Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, there's an Isalav Tit Chametz. Amalei Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon said to Rabbi Yehuda, as we learned earlier on the Amid, V'chiev Shalom Mekain, can you say that? V'loi Kva Nemar, L'soichalav Chametz, Shivas Yomim, Toichalav Matzis. That the only time there's an Is Tit Chametz is when there's a Chiv Tit Matzah. Erev Pesach, there's no Chiv Tit Matzah. So there should be no Is Tit Chametz. That's what Rav Shimon says to Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, shapa kamalei, Rav Shimon. Isn't Rav Shimon challenging you properly? Rav Yehuda amalacha hu lekava chayva afil bezman hazeh. Rav Yehuda says what the Pasuk is trying to teach us is that even bezman hazeh, that there is no carbon Pesach, and I would think therefore there is no chiv to eat matzah, tells us the Torah that shivas yom toichel matzahs, even nowadays you have to eat matzah. Rav Shimon, lekava chayva menalei. How does Rav Shimon, who uses this pasuk to connect the Issachar chametz to the chiv matzah, know that even nowadays, when we don't unfortunately have a carbon Pesach, there's a chiv to eat matzah? Nafgalim be'erev toichlu. The Torah says be'erev toichlu. Rav Yehuda, why does Rav Yehuda use that pasuk? Rav Yehuda used that pasuk me'bayalei v'tamei v'shahayi b'derech v'chayka. We know that if somebody was tamei on the first Pesach, or he wasn't available to be able to get to Yerushalayim, the Torah talks about a Pesach Sheni. He'll bring the Karban Pesach a month later on Yud Daled Iyar. Sal kedat techamina. Hol v'Pesach l'yoichel. This person's not going to eat a Karban Pesach tonight. He can't make it to Yerushalayim. He's going to eat the Karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. He too, matzah umorah nami noyeichel, he should not be mechuyiv to eat matzah maror on Pesach Rishon kamash melon. That's why the pasuk teaches us that no, eno chanami, he won't eat a carbon Pesach, but matzo mori he will eat. Rav Shimon, tamei v'shahoy b'derech rechayka, lo yisach kra. For somebody who's tamei or was a derech rechayka, I don't need a pasuk. D'legor mi'orol ben noicher. He's no worse than somebody who doesn't have a mila. Rashi explains that, let's say, someone's brothers died during the mila. They don't make a meal for such a child because it's a konas nefashis, but he's not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach because the Torah Kedoshah says v'kol oro lo yoichel boy uben nechar, or somebody shenesnaklu ma'isov love v'shebeshamayim tiksiv v'kol oro lo yoichel boy, he doesn't eat the Karban Pesach. Teaches us the Gemara boy who ain't oichel, the oro and the ben nechar doesn't eat the carbon Pesach, avu b'matzah b'mor he does eat. Rabbi Yehuda, k'sibahai. We need a pasuk both for an oral and a benekar, and we need a separate pasuk for a tamei v'hoi b'derech rechayka. So essentially, what is the machloikis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda? The machloikis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is, can we learn a tamei u'derech rechayka from an oral or a benekar? According to Reb Shimon, we can. According to Reb Yehuda, we can't. Why can't we? Says the Maram Chalva. He says, because the Tamei v'Derech Rechayka are going to bring a Pesach Sheni. So since they're going to bring a Pesach Sheni, I would say let them do everything when they bring the Pesach Sheni, and they shouldn't have to celebrate Pesach Rishon at all. That's why the Torah tells us, Pesach Sheni, they'll bring the Karban Pesach, but Pesach Rishon, they should eat matzah more. Shimon says, I don't need a pasuk, it's obvious. Why should they be different than any other Jew? Karban Pesach, they couldn't get to Yerushalayim. Everything else they can. Now, Tosfos asks, why would I think, the pasuk tells us, everybody agrees, that we have a pasuk that an oral and a ben necher have to eat matzu mor. Ask Tosfos, why would I need a pasuk? Just because somebody is an oral, that his brothers died during the mila, or somebody is a mishnas nakru mais of lavish of shemayim, he's not a religious Jew, he's still a Jew. So why should he be absolved from the mitzvah of carbon of matzah morah? Pesach, the Torah says he doesn't do; he's excluded. But every other mitzvah, he's mechuyev. Why would I need a pasuk? Tosfos says the Teretz that we're talking about a case that while the carbon Pesach was slaughtered, he was not; he was a mumer, and then he became from. It's a difficult Teretz. I saw the Shem Shmuel says a beautiful Teretz. He says like this: why taka? It's an exception to the rule. We never find that because somebody is not a religious Jew, he's excluded from a mitzvah. The only exception we find is a Karban Pesach. Why? Why? He's not a religious Jew. It's taka very unfortunate. But why do we exclude him from a mitzvah? So the Shem Shmuel answers, because the Pesach has the ability to strengthen a person. Whatever you are, it strengthens you. If you're going on the right path, it strengthens you to keep on going on the right path. If you're chas v'shom on the wrong path, it strengthens you to keep on going on the wrong path. So we don't want you to eat a Karban Pesach if you're on the wrong path. It only kept you get there, it only make you worse. So the Gemara says, according to Shem Shmuel, that I would think that matzah and maror have that same ability. That matzah and maror also have the ability to strengthen you wherever you are. And if you're on the wrong path, they'll keep you going on the wrong path. Tells us the Gemara, the matzah and maror and Pesach are different. Pesach, taka, has that characteristic that it strengthens you, and therefore if you're ben noicher, we don't want you to eat it. Matzah and maror don't have that characteristic, so even if you're ben noicher, eat it. Now the Gemara here says that even though we don't have a Karban Pesach nowadays, matzah and maror you still have to eat. But most Rishonim explain that there's a difference between matzah and maror. Matzah, there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to eat nowadays, even though we don't have a Karban Pesach. Maror, however, is connected to the Karban Pesach. The Gemara mentions maror, but they say maror is just mentioned along with matzah. But maror is only collected with the Karban Pesach, and when there is no Karban Pesach, there is no chiyuv d'oraisa to eat maror, which is the way we paskin. Another thing I saw, a very big chiddush, I'm just saying it la'halocha, not la'halocha l'maisa, from the Shalos Tshuva to Saris Tshuva. We know that you're not allowed to eat, you're not yoytze the mitzvah matzah or matzah ashira. Why? Because matzah ashira is not lechem oini. The Torah Kedoshah says that you have to eat lechem oini, poor man's bread. Matzah ashira is not lechem oini. So the Shalos Tshuva to Saris Tshuva says like this. The pasuk that calls matzah lechem oini is the pasuk that also discusses Karban Pesach. So he says, the when is there an is, when are you not mekayim mitzvahs matzah with lechem oini, when you're eating it together with Karban Pesach. So there the Torah says that what is the characteristic of matzah? It has to be poor man's bread. A matzah shir is not poor man's bread. However, nowadays, we're not eating the matzah because of that pasuk, because we're not eating Karban Pesach. Why are we eating matzah nowadays? Because the pasuk of the Erev Toich L'matzahs. In that pasuk, the Torah doesn't call matzah lechem oini. So nowadays we're only eating matzah. Matzah ashir is still matzah. And according to him, nowadays, again, I'm just saying it not la'aloch l'maisa, no, we should get a wrong impression. According to him, you would be able to be mekayim mitzvahs matzah even with lechem oini.